So here we are. Today is kind of an interesting day. Anybody know why? It's because it's kind of normal. It's just a normal day. It's a day that falls between Christmas and New Year's. It's kind of that in-between time. There's nothing in a sense really special about it. Other than if you watch TV or the news or whatever, it's the time of reflection, right? The year in review kind of a thing. So we're sitting here at this interesting thing where we've got a year coming and a year going. And we do some different things at this time. We reflect on the past and we look forward to the new. Now, the idea of New Year's, there's something about that word new, right? When you think of that word new, it comes with the idea of hope. Something new has hope with it. Something to look forward to. It's a fresh start. Remember when you were getting ready to go to school? I know some of us, it's been a long time, you're getting ready to go back to school, and you had all those new school supplies, and let's see if I can get this to work, and you'd open up that brand new notebook with all those fresh, clean, white pages. And for me, it was always a fresh start. It was hopeful that this school year was going to be better than the last one. Now, I say that because I was not an academic, so schoolwork for me was always a challenge. But those fresh, clean, white pages always inspired me with the thought, this year is going to be better. And so that's what we're sitting at right now, that this next year is going to be better. We have that hope. There's a promise. We want revelation from these fresh, clean pages of this new year that we're entering. Now, I want you to just hold that thought for a while of the new year, because we're going to do something. We're going to change our vantage point. And we're not going to look to the new year right at this time. We're going to look now back at this past year. And what's the first words that come out of your mouth? Yikes. 2020 comes with many different views and opinions. And I think Ted may have even quoted this last week, but I'm going to quote it again. This is from Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was an age of wisdom. It was an age of foolishness. It was an epoch of belief, and it was an epoch of, I'm going to try and pronounce this, incredulity. Incredulity, I can't pronounce it. Which really means unbelief. I had to look it up. Huh?
Incredulity.
Incredulity, there it is. It was a season of light. It was a season of darkness. It was a season of spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. And when you read that, it really is, where is your vantage point that you're going to agree with what's in here? But when we look at this, this kind of sums up the past year, doesn't it? There was some great things that happened, maybe for yourself personally or for different people personally, but there was some really awful things that happened. There was great loss. There was definitely great change. So much uncertainty. Many are fearful of what the near future holds. And for some of us, our lives didn't turn over much. Things have only changed a little. But for all of us, the normal of the past years is gone. We can say we have 2020 vision of the past year now, right? When I think back over this past year, I look at it first from that clean, fresh, white start of the pages, ready to be written on. I go back all the way to actually before January 1st. One of the things that I always like to do is I look to the Lord for a word for the year. Just, you know, what's happening, Papa? What's the plan? And I'm not crazy by doing that, because Amos, in fact, I think I have this one here for you. This is, maybe, there it is. Amos 3:7, this is from the NIV, says, "Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets." He tells us what's coming. He tells us. And we kind of, you know, have to listen up. Now, I think I shared about this scripture the Lord gave me for this year back in June when I preached, but I'm going to remind you about it. But before I do, I want you to remember, when I got this word, the clean, white, fresh pages of the new year were before me. And you know when you get a word and you start meditating on it and thinking about it, and you know, so my thoughts started stirring in this word, and my thoughts were for ministry. My thoughts were, you know, also for myself, how this was going to work. I started, you know, laying out plans, working things from the former ways, and you'll understand why I say that in a minute. Planning, preparing, thinking, you know, doing all sorts of the same thing, expecting some changes. Well, here's the scripture that I started the year with from the Lord. It's from Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, and it says this: "Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Now, when you start the year with that at the beginning, right? Wow, where does your mind go? Pandemic? Shutting down youth group? Having to close down kids club? Church services where we're only allowed to do online except for a handful of people? My mind didn't go there. I forgot to let go of the former things and let him speak to us. Is this the ideal thing of God? No, but God says, look, I'm going to do a new thing. We sang it this morning that the evil that's intended, he's going to turn for good. And so at this point, at this vantage point, looking back over the year, we have to spend some time. What are the good that came out of it? What's the good things that came from this past year? I want to read the same scripture again in the Passion Translation because it just emphasizes some things a little. Whoops, let me go back. Stop dwelling on the past. So we shouldn't be talking about right now. No. Don't even remember these former things. I'm doing something brand new, something unheard of. Even now, it sprouts and grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the desert. And I look at this scripture now and I'm thinking back over the year and what's happened. But this scripture doesn't end here. It isn't just for a scripture for 2020. It is a verse about our God and how good he is. He's doing something unheard of. And sometimes when we make our plans, we do it just the way we've always done it. We do things and we plan and prepare because that's what we know. But sometimes we have to sit back and stand back and say, God, what are you doing now? Even now it sprouts up and grows and matures. Do you perceive it? What's he got for this new year? Are we perceiving it? He says this, I will make a way in the wilderness. So when we feel like we're kind of bumping around out in the wilderness, or the world is, he's making a way. And I will open up flowing streams in the desert. That's referring to the Holy Spirit flowing to us. In John, and I don't have the scripture up here, but in John 3, verses 37 to 39, it says, on the last day of the great feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow within them. By this he meant the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to later receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus is there, telling everybody the plans, just like Amos. He's telling them the plan. If you come to me, the Holy Spirit's going to fill you, and living water will flow from you. How many of you feel like you're full of living water flowing from you, heading out to the world around you, making streams in the desert? And that's who you are, even though you may not feel that way. That's who we are. And the Lord has plans for you in this time that is so uncertain and so different, to minister to those around you, to flow with Holy Spirit out with love and meet the needs and tell the truth of Jesus Christ. Share the good news of our God. This is the title of my message, and it's later here, Plans, Promise, and Preemption. And again, as I look back at this past year and the word that was given to me, or, you know, I think to us, it looks nothing like what I thought it would. This year looked nothing like what I thought it would. And, you know, the past couple of weeks, preparing for the Advent message and putting together the Christmas video, I'm going through those scriptures again, the story of Jesus' birth, the Christmas story, both in the Old Testament and in the Gospels. And, you know, you look at Mary and Joseph. They had plans. They were engaged to be married, so there was going to be a wedding. I'm sure they both wanted children. They were going to raise a family together. Joseph would teach his son the family business of carpentry, all the sons he had. Mary would care for the household and the children like the culture had. They would do the traditional things of their country, of their faith. They had plans. In Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So just like Mary and Joseph, we have our plans in our life, and we desire them as believers to line up with God's ways, to go forth and increase in the earth. That's what it said in Genesis. That was a plan God had. Mary's plan? To get married, have children. But then her plan, a promise got dropped into it. So it came with this huge promise from the angel. Something the whole of Israel had been waiting and looking for, the birth of the Messiah. And she was the one chosen for this. She agreed to it, but did it match her plans exactly? No. Joseph, a God-following man, he was doing the right thing. You know, he was not having sex with his fiance before they got married. Then when he found out that Mary was pregnant, his plans were called off with her. He was going to call it off. He was going to do this according to God's law because he was a faithful man. He wasn't going to marry this Mary who was sleeping around. He would have none of it. But then God stepped in and set him straight on what was really happening. That she was a virgin. And Joseph saw God's plan. It was not his plan. It was God's plan. It was not how he originally saw his life going. He didn't think to himself that I'm going to parent the Messiah. Now, also remember this couple. They found themselves, they were in a country, pardon me, where they had an evil king ruling over it. Their country was occupied by Romans. And they were not nice to the Jewish people. So when the orders came for everyone to go back to their hometown to be counted, their plans changed again. Don't you feel like right now we've kind of been occupied by this whole pandemic thing? We're kind of in the same situation. We're being ordered what to do. They have that same situation. And you know, the whole lifetime of Jesus, he lived in a country occupied by the Romans. So they went off to Bethlehem, and when they found themselves in Bethlehem, the environment there was certainly not very welcoming. There was no room for them. And was that because it was overcrowded? Possibly. Was it because their extended family was there, and they knew very well the story of Mary and Joseph, or so they thought? Was there no room at the inn because they went back to family, the hometown of their family, right? And so the word got around. So there's no room for your sort in our inn. Was it the kindness of an innkeeper to give them the stable, or was it a statement about what they thought about Mary and Joseph? And this situation. We don't know all of that, but they certainly were not feeling very welcome when they ended up in a stable. I'm sure Mary did not plan to give birth in a stable. That the expectations that she had when she was given the word of God that she was carrying the Messiah and would bring forth God's own son, that was a promise from God. But did it look like birth in a stable when she first heard the word? Did God's plan get preempted? You know that word preemptional? Whoops, let me back up. I think I have to go forward. Sorry, I missed that one. Mary and Joseph got married. let's go back a slide. How many looked at Mira and thought, that's Monica?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, oh my goodness. She looks like her mom. This word preemption, let's see if I can get this. An action of preempting or foretelling, especially making a preemptive act, or the interruption or replacement of a scheduled radio television program. We interrupt this scheduled program to bring you a special news report.
Yeah.
Preempted. We've all experienced that kind of preemption, right? But sometimes we look at the promises that God has given us and think the very same thing. It got preempted. It got interrupted. Something isn't happening. I think of the shepherds that came running into that stable when they found Mary and Joseph. They were excited because it confirmed what the angels had said to them. But what do you think it did for Mary and Joseph, who felt like God's plan had gotten preempted? There was the word. And it says in Luke 12:19 that Mary treasured and pondered these things in her heart. She pondered them in her heart. We also know that the wise men came and found Mary and the child in the house. They moved out of the stable by this time. And they found them in the house by the time they arrived. And they bowed down and worshiped Jesus, honoring this child like a king with gold and frankincense, as myrrh, as gifts to them. And I'm sure at that point, Mary and Joseph are going, yes, this is the plan. This is how it's supposed to go. But right away comes another change of plans. When God, through a dream, tells Joseph to keep Jesus safe by packing up the family and heading to Egypt. Where in their plans was there ever that? But God spoke and they moved on. That's exactly what Joseph did. Here's our proverb here. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. So all of us, we have plans in our hearts. We have things that God has spoken to us. And we can take courage and comfort in the idea he's going to direct our steps. Sometimes they don't go the direction we think they are, but he's going to direct our steps. The Lord's promise and plans are always filled with, like the angel said in Luke 1:20, and I don't have that scripture for you, where he says, it was telling Zechariah that God's plans always come true at the appointed time. God's plans always come true at the appointed time. And sometimes that timing isn't our timing. We think it needs to be now or right away, or we need to just trust in the Lord. Galatians 4, and I think I have that one here. There it is. 4, got that backwards. 7:4 says, but when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. Jesus' birth came at the right time. The timing was right. The place was right. And we can stand from the vantage point of this, you know, this side, like we're looking back at this year, we can look back and see God's plan being fulfilled and his word being answered. The fact that they even went to Egypt fulfills the word that says that my son will come out of Egypt. My son will come out of Galilee. How can that be? How can he come from two places? Well, we understand the story from this vantage point. You know, as we look back, not only on the Christmas story, but all of Scripture, we can see how faithful God is to us. We might not always see it when we're in the middle of what's happening. We may not notice what he's doing. We may even question whether we even heard from God. I want to encourage you today to be like the saints and the heroes of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11 and 12, chapters 11 and 12. In Hebrews 11, it says this: all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, but they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. We may not see the answer to all the promises in our lifetime, but we look forward to them. How many of you are praying for loved ones who haven't come to the Lord or have, we call them our prodigals? Many of us are. And we may not see in our lifetime, but God has not given up. And his promise to you, if you've heard that promise in your heart, his promise to you is, I will fulfill my word. And we, the faithful, will continue in faith. Now, I want to head back to that thought that we started with. As we hold on to beginning this next year, this new year, full of hope, full of promise, fresh, clean, white pages of the new year we're entering. We may not know everything about how next year is going to play out, but you know what you do know? You know the God of our Lord Jesus. You know the Father. You know our Lord Jesus. You know the faithful one. And from him, we can trust that he will order our steps. We will experience the promise of God, the fulfillment of his promises in us. How many of you know his promises will be fulfilled? That's right. His promise will be fulfilled. So let me take you back to the scripture from the Passion Translation. We'll wrap up here. Stop dwelling on the past. Okay? Don't even remember the former things. I am doing something brand new. Something unheard of. Even now it sprouts and grows and matures. Do you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and open flood streams in the desert. I just encourage you, let's not try and figure out what God's going to do. Let's just listen to his voice, listen to the Spirit, because his promise there is great and wonderful. Amen? Amen. Well, that is what I want to share with you this morning. I don't know if there's prayer requests in the box we will pray for. And if I don't see you, which I probably most of you I won't, before the new year, have a happy new year. And trust that this year will be full of the good things of God. Amen? His promise, he's faithful. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, Father, we come before you and we thank you that no matter how things go, you are with us, you are for us, and you are ordering our steps. Good and prosperous things are in store for us. We thank you, Father. You are good. We thank you, Jesus, because you came and you dwelt among us as a man, showing us the Father, showing us how to live.
Yes.
And then in your death, you set us free from sin and destruction and death and rose again and then ascended to heaven where we were, can now be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And now we can speak over these prayers that have been given to us. And we thank you, Father, for health and wholeness and healing because of the finished work of Jesus. The battle belongs to him and he is victorious.
Yes.
And from this place of victory, seated in Christ Jesus, we declare now health, wholeness, healing, restoration, all that has been requested to you, Lord. We lift up to you with joyful expectation. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus. And all the saints said,
amen.
Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great week. And we'll meet back here, same time, same place, next Sunday.